Yeah.
How much did it crush your soul on that drop?
Man.
I'm sorry.
I'm trash for that.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Mark Grody is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And this segment is also brought to you by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or at their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. Groats!
What's going on, Lawrence? Did I just take the fun out of DJ Moore's great day with the Bears, a day that he referred to as his favorite day as a Chicago Bear? Am I a bad guy? We'll start there.
No, you're not, because of the way that he reacted to it. Had he reacted differently, I would have been like, ooh, groats. But the way that he reacted to it was so
trash for that.
That's clutch,
it was
man.
Awesome, man.
What a great reaction.
Yeah, there was DJ Moore talking about his drop, and he was like, I'm trash for that. No, it was so obvious that he was angry at himself on a day when he was so happy about himself. That was one thing that maybe we should have seen coming, and my friend did. He bet on DJ Moore to score two touchdowns or more and did very nicely over at FanDuel.
Nice.
But, like, should we have seen the big DJ Moore day coming, Groats?
I think so. I mean, I think DJ Moore has said enough to indicate that he wanted more. I think that Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus leading up to this week said enough to indicate that they want to see the same things that you guys want to see, the same things that I want to see, and for damn sure the same thing that 59,000 people out at Soldier Field, including Matt Spiegel, wanted to see out there. I was so impressed, though. I'll start here with DJ Moore in terms of the first touchdown past him, the one where he's wide open. That whole drive, like, I just watched it again. The telecast obviously didn't have the benefit of watching much of that being live at Soldier Field yesterday. But the ramp up to that set the tone for the entire game, because you had Swift 8-yard run, Swift 5-yard run play, play action pass to Roma Dunze, quick pass to Keenan Allen, Swift a first down run, Swift up the middle between the damn tackles, then the play fake and the 34-yard touchdown toss to DJ Moore. I thought that was just beautiful because it was a ramp up. It was the slow. It was, okay, oh, we're doing this again. The inside passes after a bad first drive for the Bears. There was a little concern. I'm thinking, oh, they're going short, but it was all leading up to what it was, and then the offense just, I felt like they just kind of took off from there.
That's a great, great point, Groats, and it feels so football basic, but there it is. Run the ball, then the play action, and if you're running the ball, then the linebackers come up, et cetera, and it's just, it all worked, but it seemed like everybody knows what their role is. Lawrence was talking about learning how to win and played this great clip from Olin on the pregame yesterday. I saw DJ Moore running deep down the field one play, and he was just a decoy, and he was pumping his fist excitedly. Yes. That it worked. You know?
Yes, and maybe that kind of play isn't possible if he doesn't know that he is going to get the ball. Like, all that feels better now.
Yeah.
You want to be like, because before it was like, yeah, I'm a decoy, and he didn't sound really, when I'd hear him on Molly and Hawley, like, I'm a decoy. I'm like, that's not what he wants to do. But when he knows he's going to get the ball and the offense is working, as you guys were talking in another great conversation with Kurt Warner, by the way, then everybody's happy when they understand the whys. That's what I got out of the Kurt Warner conversation. Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting, too, where if you're looking at this offense overall, there have been the games, like Caleb can point back and go, here's the game where I threw to Rome. Here's the game where I threw to DJ. Here's the game where I threw to Komet. And what it ends up being, like, they're able to kind of form up like Voltron, where it's such a good group that defenses are going to have to pay attention to everyone, which means they can't pay attention to everyone.
So Ruben had a Voltron. Voltron is like all these different things that then fit together, becoming one big thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, you got the five lines that then turn into a robot.
Sure. It's kind of like I think Devastator.
With the Transformers.
Yes, in Transformer lore. Okay.
The Constructicons.
Yes.
Well, look at the highs for all these guys. DJ Moore, a long of 34. Keenan Allen, a 19-yarder. Cole Kmet, 26-yarder. DeAndre Swift, which was more DeAndre Swift than anything because it was a catch and run, 42-yard play. Explosive plays. Everybody getting in on the action. And Spiegs, you asked, like, was that intent? Yeah. Not just explosive plays, but getting Gerald Everett.
Gerald Everett caught it was sort of a check down, but it really was by design. He caught like a 9-yard pass, made a move that turned into 11-yard pass and a pickup. He also had a tight end screen that was blocked really well. If he had just been able to leap over the guy he tripped over, he might have gone a long way. So, yeah, everybody involved, Groats, that's for sure.
No doubt. Let's get to Matt Eberflus. And I'll start off by telling you guys that Matt Eberflus told us yesterday that the players were getting the day off today. So no players speaking at the podium today like they usually do. As a matter of fact, the team is probably gathering at Hallis Hall right about now to get on the buses, head to the airport, and make the 7-hour trip to London. They are leaving today, and I'll have more on the London trip towards the end of this Bears hit. But the first thing that I asked Matt Eberflus today was a simple question, but I thought I got a pretty good answer. What was your favorite part about Caleb Williams's day?
I would just say the ability to get the ball to the receivers, in a more consistent way. That was by design. We haven't had a big game like that by the receivers yet. So there's playing point guard. He's done that, a couple games ago in the last game, getting it to the tight ends and backs. But this was getting the ball down the field to the receivers. That was most exciting to me.
You mentioned that it was by design to get the ball to the receivers and get the ball downfield. Is that something that the receivers and the players had been voicing as well, with that open communication with Shane Waller?
Yeah, I think so. And it's been in practice. We saw it in practice first, and there's been that connection here in the last couple weeks, and we were just waiting for it to happen in the game, when the looks presented itself. And a couple of times it did yesterday, and we got some good looks and had some good execution.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And the distribution... It's funny because Groats, I feel like it's kind of like the vision that we talked about on Friday of a really good functional offense, and then you reverse engineer it and try to figure out why it happens. Just go where the play is designed to go and go with who's open. And by the end of it, you probably have distributed it pretty well if you're actually looking and doing it based on merit.
And then the transparency, too, that is existing in better portions this year from Matt Eberflus to admit, to say a straight up yes and not give me an ambiguous answer when asked, does this have something to do with the players and the coaches coming together? And he was straight up like, yes. And that goes back to what I said. I'll say it again. I'll probably say it again at 6 o'clock when I'm on the air for 24 minutes, that this is all these things that we want so badly out of the Bears offense, that we've always wanted so badly out of the Bears offense. They want the same thing too. They see the same thing. And I know, like, we all want to say identity is running the football and defense. No, I think the identity they want teams to think when they play them, oh man, we got to account for three terrific wide receivers. Oh, and then throw Cole Kmet in there as well. And then Gerald Everett and DeAndre Swift. I think that's the identity that the Bears at their very core want to have, is to be dangerous and to be explosive. And then all the other stuff is great and necessary too, like a great defense and a terrific run game as well. But this is the part that we just have not seen in abundance with the Chicago Bears in their history, quite frankly.
I love it because what it does is that it's all about keeping the defense in conflict.
Yes. Yeah. And some of the no huddle stuff that they were doing yesterday.
It's really
with Caleb.
Cool stuff.
Hey, glad you brought this up. Do we know how much did they do before this game? I'm not sure, but they were doing it from the get-go, and they were doing it like all day long. They were up 27-7 still running no huddle, and they all talked about how it kept the defense in base. I wonder if that came from players or coaches or both or what?
That's a great question. I don't know specifically the answer to that, but I do think that that's one of those things that does put Caleb Williams in a little bit of a comfort zone, something that he's perhaps more used to. You can't use it too much. You cannot overuse it. You don't want defenses to start to catch up and game plan for it. But, hey, we always talk about adjustments and what's Shane Waldron going to do, what's Matt Eberflus going to do, the coaching staff. These are adjustments. These are offensive adjustments. So while I'm sure there's going to be another week where we're all ripping on Shane Waldron and the coaching staff and Matt Eberflus doing something, what we have seen over the last 2 weeks is concrete adjustments to the Bears' offense, and that's all we're asking for from the coaching staff and the assistants.
What else we need to know?
Absolutely. We've got I did hear you guys talking also with Kurt Warner earlier about Caleb's work pre-snap in directing the run game, and that was something that came up with Matt Eberflus out at Halas Hall today as well.
You talked about the execution of the blocks and of the running backs. What about Caleb's ability at the line of scrimmage to identify safeties, to identify and get you into the right run?
Yeah, it's getting better.
Out of the wrong run, maybe.
Yeah, it's getting better. It's not perfect yet, but it's getting better. You know, so the defenses give you different looks and disguise different things, and sometimes you're right when you do it, and some, you know, most oftentimes you're right, but sometimes you're not. And we're getting better at that week to week.
Is that just with experience, everybody gets better, or are there things you can do to improve it? Kind of.
Yeah, I think it's just with time and experience. You know, just exposure to it. And again, every week it's different. You know, different teams disguise different ways, and you got to be on the tells and making sure you're on point there.
That's good stuff, because Cole Kmet had said something about the quarterback on the run checks.
Yeah, and seeing that it's something that they have faith in, that there's growth. It's fun. Like, the whole thing is all of us have to learn with Caleb a little bit on what Caleb's learning and what his capacity is. Because it seems like his capacity is pretty great for a young quarterback.
No doubt. And like I said, I'm through three quarters of the television broadcast watching just before I came on with you guys. And it was in the third quarter, the drive right after what was a really nice interception by Kevin Byard. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a skilled pick by that man on that play. Caleb checked into, as the broadcaster said, they said he checked into the right run. Now, the run didn't really go anywhere with DeAndre Swift, but the point still exists that he checked out of one play and into the next. So that was a concrete example right there of Caleb. We're talking about adjustments with coaches. There's Caleb making an adjustment as well.
There's a moment of imposed will we're going to talk about later in the hour from yesterday's game, but Mark Grody has taken us through Matt Eberflus' sound during a Bears report on Spiegel and Holmes.
Yeah, and speaking of imposing his will, Jervon Dexter had another sack yesterday, couple tackles. He's up to four on the season. And one of the things that I've been kind of tracking going back to OTAs and training camp, and anytime we asked about Jervon Dexter, whether from Matt Eberflus or the defensive line coach Travis Smith, there was never a ringing exact endorsement. It wasn't anything bad about him, but it was as if they were challenging this man. We know that he got in better football shape this year, but every time I asked, is he the three technique, they would not commit to it. So I think that was interesting. So that was part of the line of question that I had about Jervon Dexter and his game, and then Matt Eberflus with his answer right here.
Yeah, he came back when we got back from the summer. He came back in great shape. You know, he changed his body, and he really worked hard, and he's really goes hard in practice. You know, he's got his wind conditioning part of it down, and he really established that during training camp. He really does a good job taking care of his body, so he's available. He does that really well, and he just owned the position, you know, and I really think that he's really taken off that way, and he's got the athletic ability and the determination to get that done. So, again, this is week to week. He's building on some good performances, and we'll see him hopefully go forward with it.
Yeah, Jervon Dexter having a very good year. And
four sacks for him now?
Four sacks, 14 pressures. That's the most pressures on the Bears for Jervon Dexter, having a much better year than Jalen Carter, for the record. Yeah. Let's say it again.
Well, that Eagles thing is
it's a mess.
It's a real mess right now.
Yeah, it really is.
Groats, what else you got? Did we lose Groats?
Yeah, I thought we did. It's funny. When we were talking, I was like, Grody might have said something there. You know, he might have jumped in.
But, I think he's. I thought he was just being a good teammate.
Just being thoughtful.
Letting us, do our thing. And that's the type of man Mark Grody is, Bears.
Grody?
He's
got a good teammate?
I'm sorry. That was. I'm going to say this is the first time Dave the Cat has disconnected me from broadcast. I've had this cat for 6 years now. That's the first time it occurred. He was right behind me. I picked him up, put him in front of the screen, and then we were disconnected. And I was just as shocked to not hear you guys since you were to not hear me.
So wait, did Dave just hit the disconnect button? Did he unplug something? How did this go?
Dave put on porn. Well, it was very shocking.
Dave, he has a limit on not getting all the attention in this household from me. So, but no, actually, he was right behind. I was trying to get him on camera. Then I just picked him up, put him in front of the camera. But then I accidentally hit the phone line that I'm using, and it's kind of it doesn't snap in. You know, like when you get a phone line, it doesn't snap in the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, it's a little off, and it's a little loose.
Look,
Dave's a little loose.
Dave's not used to having a Bears blowout win to discuss. It's a very different kind of life, isn't it?
He told me he doesn't know how to act. I'm like, yeah, I got you, bud. I understand. I know where you're coming from. I've been watching this a lot longer than you, DTC.
Yeah.
DTC.
But anyway, Jervon Dexter. How about Jervon Dexter?
Yeah, he was good.
Let's go, man.
Let's go, Dino Dex.
DTC.
DTC. That's my cat. That's my cat.
All right, so we did talk about Jervon Dexter. What's next?
Yes, let me give you guys everything regarding all the questions that were asked today. It's about a minute 30 or so from Matt Eberflus on the London trip, which I said they're going to be taking off for soon. Here are all the pertinent questions about the London trip.
Yeah, the challenges is to stick to your routine because it's a little different, right? It's planes, trains, automobiles, all that stuff. And then you got to really wire in to doing your job. So whatever your prep is, on Monday, today, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through the week, you got to keep that the same, because there's going to be other things that go on. And I'm going to have a meeting with the players once they get in here about that. And to me, it's about staying with your routine. Whatever time you go to bed at the same time. Don't change it. And you got to make sure you're doing that. And we have to do that as a group.
The Jaguars play in London every year, including twice last year. They have a lot of players who've done this before. What kind of advantage is that for them?
Yeah, that's what it is, right? So we're going to do our plan. We're going to focus on us. And it's about us, about how we prepare, how we go about our business to prepare. It's what we're going to do on the grass over there. So we're going to look at our preparation, our film study, how we prepare, just like we do here. And it's going to be no different.
Have you looked into what teams do? I mean, is this an unusual, is this just another game, or is this special enough that you've looked into what wins, what doesn't, what's an advantage? Have you researched that much? Have you done?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. It doesn't seem like there's any numbers that tell you that one way or the other. But, to me, it's about focusing on us. That's really all we can do.
Yeah, I was going to ask along the lines of London. Some teams, it's just another road game. But other teams say, well, the cultural and historical significance of being in a place like this. What's your philosophy on a trip like this?
Yeah, to me, it's just about that field's the same size, and it's about preparation. It's all about us, and that's what my mantra is going to be, and that's what it's always been. You focus on your preparation. We have, Jacksonville, and they present issues like every other team does, and we got to really deal with those issues, and then we have to focus on our execution.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that he has that perspective and it fits him, and it's probably right. The field being the same size,
Yeah, he's doing
Hoosiers.
Yeah, he's doing Hoosiers.
Right, like Gene Hackman walks over there, hey, measure that rim, would you?
Well, the other part that I think for Eberflus is interesting about this is that if you look at it from a selfish perspective, and I don't mean that in a pejorative way. He's got an opportunity to get his team to 4-2 at the bye.
Mm-hmm.
You're damn right this is a business trip. We're not going to sightsee. We're going to go beat Jacksonville.
Although I would recommend the Churchill Bunkers. I really would recommend that.
I agree.
It's great. I went there in 2018 when I went. I went there and did what a lot of people are going to do. Like I know a lot of some media folks going to stay there during the bye week, which is what I did last time. So it's a great – I'll tell you what, that's just it. This is good – for maybe media and family, but for the team, this whole thing, I mean, honestly, it sucks. It's a tough trip. It's just a pain in the ass trip, and I'm sure some guys might get something out of it in terms of traveling abroad, and maybe they'll go check some things out, but for the most part, this is a 7-hour difference in time zone and just a really long trip in which, you know, as Lawrence said, it is about business if the Bears are serious about winning this year, and I think they are.
We're going to ask, we're going to talk some more about London tomorrow. I know you have one more flus, though. I want to ask you about nuggets and tidbits, but go ahead, sir.
Yes, yes. Matt Eber, I heard you guys talking about Big Bill right before I came on, and Matt Eberflus was asked, or actually wasn't asked about it, but he shared with us his favorite play of the day.
The rotation's been great, you know, so keeping guys fresh and really platooning those guys through there. I think Travis has done a really good job of that during the course of the game. And you have your guys fresh in the fourth quarter, fresh on third down, to make sure they can operate and be at a good level there in terms of energy level, in terms of rushing the passer, you know, Jervon, you know, he's been rotating out of there, and even saw Big Bill there yesterday get a sack. So it's was good to see. My favorite play of the game, by the way.
And then you see the players perform because of it.
Third down and five, Dalton wrapped up. Andrew Billings him down.
Why is it his favorite play? Just fat guys? We just love watching fat guys? Is that what it is?
It's like the guy that's working his butt off the whole day that is not necessarily going to get a ton of sacks on the season, breaks through the wall, and nobody's in his way, and he flattens the quarterback. I think it's pleasing. I think that is something that, for defensive coordinator sensibilities, I think that just gives him the warm and fuzzies, quite frankly.
I agree with you. This is the guy that actively tries to get his butt kicked so that everyone else
yes.
can do their job. And he's really good at it, man. I want an Andrew Billings camera for every game. I'd love to just watch him push people around. It's pretty awesome.
I'll say this too, man. Chris Emo sits next to me in the press box, made a great point. He just kind of looked over at me and said, what a great signing, this guy. What a great find, because
yes.
Billings was a guy who was bouncing around. He really didn't have a home. They bring him in halfway through the season. Ryan Pohl says, you know what? I'm going to give that guy a 2-year extension. So that is one of those sort of low-key wins for the Bears in Big Bill, and he's beloved in the locker room.
Well, yeah, I mean, and a big part of their culture, they love how hard he works and what he does, and he's been able to move up and down the line and be effective. No, it's a great point for sure. Groats, Tevin Jenkins injury status among your nuggets, what can you tell us?
Absolutely, it is speaks right at the top. As a matter of fact, Tevin Jenkins is traveling with the team, but as far as the ankle injury is concerned, Matt Eberflus said we don't know yet, but I do think it's a good sign that he's actually going. I do wonder about the ribs too, the rib injury, if that has healed or if that's bothering him as well. But the good news is he is traveling with the team. Keenan Allen, 3 catches, just 33 yards. Unfortunately, he left the locker room as we were lining up to get into the locker room. So if you're wondering why you haven't heard from Keenan Allen, that is why, and I hope everything's okay with him. Of Caleb Williams playing well in the windy conditions at Soldier Field, everybody was like, oh, yeah, isn't this him passing a test here at Soldier Field? And Eberflus said the reality popped in. He said, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Ice, wind, and snow. And we know the Flus is correct. I was also told by a Bears official today that Torrey Taylor, the fans are going to eat this up. Torrey Taylor was last week out at Soldier Field on Saturday just trying to get a feel for the conditions out there before games. And I remember what a big deal that was a few years ago about getting guys to go, special teams to go to Soldier Field. Apparently he did that on his own. And this one too, since Doug Kramer's a big part of your show, I don't know why. I think it's perfect that he's the mini fridge and he got a clipping call, because that's so 1980s. That's the last time that clipping calls were prevalent. So that thought just popped to my brain. Maybe I should have saved that for 6 o'clock.
Nope.
But I had to get it in there.
You're the best for sharing it. Thank you, Mark Grody.
You can check out Mark Grody at 6 o'clock here on The Score. He will have 24 minutes of heat talking about the Bears.
Awesome.
What do you want to do next? You want to talk about your viewpoint for Fight Club yesterday?
I want to talk about Fight Club, and I'll get a little bit of my Ferdy Pacheco on, but really it's about the will of this football team being imposed on the opposition yesterday.
All right, let's do that next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on The Score.
If that's not a promo, I don't know what is.
Kramer in at fullback. Johnson lined up behind him. First and goal. It's Johnson, and he is in. Johnson's second touchdown today. And now some extracurricular activity.
I never understood that, Kenny. You have the whole game, literally 60 minutes to go hit each other as hard as you can. I don't understand why you're mad now.
I thought that was a really great piece of analysis by Jonathan Vilma of him expressing frustration with, well, if you're a Carolina Panther, what you fighting about now? You had 60 minutes to fight and you chose not to fight. What you fighting about?
It's a great point by a guy who was capable of keeping his emotions in check during a football game. But those emotions so close to the surface. And had a really good angle on that whole exchange right there in that end zone.
What'd you see?
I saw a team in the Bears who had dominated all day, but over the course of the last two games, who had gotten back in touch with the sense of physicality you need to have on a football field. The stuff that Olin and others have talked about with us for weeks upon weeks or years upon years. The stuff that Buffon and OB used to get you going with on this radio station. The reality of the need to show another team you can punch them in the mouth. And when you line up in the eye with the mini fridge and you've run God's play a bunch of times, and then, yeah, when he's out there and he's in motion and you might be doing some other stuff, you are still showing, we're going to put an extra offensive lineman out there, declare him eligible. You're going to know what we're doing and you can't stop it. And the embarrassment that was palpable and obvious in the body language of the Panthers was so clear. J.C. Horn, who is Joe Horn's nephew, is that right?
And really good friends with DJ Moore.
Is he? Okay, interesting. The corner. He got shoved, manhandled by Bill Murray. Freaking Bill Murray is out there. And what an incredible.
That's a day two story for us that we should discuss, Bill Murray being out there over other choices.
You know, Bill Murray stepped in, did a really nice job.
He really did. I was surprised to see comedy legend Bill Murray start the fight.
Especially at 80.
We now know which one it is. I've been wondering which Bill Murray is it? Is it like What About Bob Bill Murray? Is it Lost in Translation Bill Murray? Is it SNL? No, it's the first half of Groundhog Day Bill Murray. Just grumpy as hell and rude. And abusive. That's the Bill Murray that we saw out there.
Tanny, do we believe the Kalise rumors or no?
Oh, no.
Are you saying it's late night drunken actual Bill Murray? Is that what we're saying?
No. Just yeah. I mean,
it would be difficult to believe, but not impossible.
Sure, not impossible. But I'm just what's the end game for Kalise in that situation?
I don't know.
You know? I don't know, maybe a human connection, maybe, I don't know.
He's funny and charming and...
From what we've heard, right?
Well, in certain cases, and then in other cases, maybe not so much.
Did her milkshake bring that boy to the yard? Is that what happened?
It brings all the boys to the yard.
That's what I thought.
You better believe it.
But, I mean...
Great follow on Instagram.
Bill Murray's out there doing his thing. Good stash on that guy.
Cameraman never misses.
Really?
Never misses.
It's good to know. Sorry,
okay. I didn't mean to derail it.
You're
but
good.
I love Kalise. I love her.
Just got very real for Lars.
Hey.
Just went to a very real place. Okay.
If you've seen her, you love her.
Okay. Noted. But there was a football game.
Yep.
The fight.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
There's
that's
a fight.
There's
a football fight. Game.
Bill Murray stepped in. He stepped did a really
in.
Nice job.
The guy's got a good stash. The Chicago legend status that's possible for Bill Murray. His name is Bill Murray. He's got a good mustache, and he's a physical manhandler of an offensive lineman. This is Chicago legendary stuff.
A texter pointed it out earlier, and I should have made the connection, and thank you for making the connection. I was in the Ghostbusters room while Bill Murray was out there playing for the Bears.
That's destiny.
Right?
It is.
That's top notch. That's a good catch by the texter.
That is absolutely tremendous. But Lawrence, the Panthers were embarrassed, and so J.C. Horn pops back at Bill Murray, then Matt Pryor goes in there and pops at J.C. Horn, then everybody's throwing at everybody, and you could see, like, the giddiness of the Bears and the embarrassment of the Panthers.
It's so funny that you said that, Speaks, because I felt the same way. I'm sitting there going, they are clowning.
Completely.
The Panthers right now. And because it's like, dude.
Yeah, but look at the score.
What are we doing?
And then they went for two. Then they went for two.
Eberflus said that's what the card says.
Oh, come on, man. You knew it.
He said that today, Tanny.
Okay, that's fine.
He said that, hey, this is what the card says.
That's swack Eberflus.
Dude.
better believe it.
That is some balls to go.
Let me look at the card.
Oh, yeah.
It says rub it in. That's what it says.
It says make you feel even worse than you do because you've come to our house and we've embarrassed you.
Olin and Patrick and I all looked at each other. I'm like, why are they going for two? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I just wanted to get Keenan some.
They wanted to give him the business, and they gave him the business.
Give it to him one more time. So just the physical dominance, man. And it's like, that's got to feel good because you want to build that mentality, and then with scheme and with play calls, you help build and breed that mentality. And now when you get a team that's not going to be a pushover like the Panthers at this place, maybe that mentality can help you out a little bit and help level the playing field. So I thought it was awesome. Every flag and hat that could possibly be on the field from the refs was on the field.
When you see, it's so weird to see referees like stripped down. Like you've been watching this guy in a cap all game, and now he doesn't have a cap. Yeah. He can't find his cap.
Yeah.
There's two flags over there. Uh-huh. This guy's cap is off.
So
there's
funny.
A bean bag that was thrown.
Oh, God.
There's all sorts of stuff.
And I enjoyed, like, one ref went over and picked up all the flags and then came back and, like, all right,
here you go.
This one's yours. That one's
Here's
yours.
One for you. Buy yourself something pretty with this one.
Just a and this is, you get this one. It looks good on you, though. Yeah, absolutely.
And then the Bears are just like, really, guys?
Really?
This is what we're doing?
Really? Okay, fine. But just...
sometimes I guess you want to get out of there early.
Dude, if you miss Jalen Johnson on this show talking about the joys of a blowout, I mean, and Lawrence, you brought up like, yeah, you got some plays off there at the end. He's like, I never had that in my life.
That feels good when you can like unhook the shoulder pads. Like, if you're Caleb Williams, you're like, well, there you go, Tyson. Going out there and take some kneel downs. I am going to put my feet up and enjoy myself because we had this game won in the third quarter.
I told you my plan was maybe to wait a few minutes after the game ended to let the hordes empty out. Didn't have to.
Really?
Hordes emptied out during the fourth quarter of a blowout.
Oh, that's great for you.
It was perfect.
Oh, that makes me happy.
It's exquisite.
That was the only thing that I didn't like about my experience last week is that...
the leaving.
Getting out took a long time. Should have waited. Should have just...
Stayed there,
looked the beautiful. It was a beautiful day last Sunday. I should have just waited. So I'm so glad that you didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, did not have to worry. And just tremendous, man. It's just and good for the Bears and the offensive linemen that deserve it, the ones that bust their ass, and for Roshan and everybody to get that feeling of being dominant that football's all about. There was a moment early on, because they gave DeAndre Swift a touchdown, and Flus was asked if that was like a gift or whatever. At one point, after DeAndre Swift's, after the long, or to get down to the one, he looked to the bench and gave this sign, like keep it rolling, kind of like a false start sign, but like we might do for like, oh no, let's keep it going. And I was wondering if that signal meant, can I please stay in and have the touchdown carry as opposed to coming out for Roshan?
I think it means that he likes Fred Durst.
That's what that move is?
I think that's what.
I hope that's not the case.
That means.
That deserved a rim shot, yeah. But that's okay.
What? It's true. When we come back.
Yeah.
Speaks, we're going to play How Well Do You Know Your Teammates?
What?
That's what we're doing, Chuck. We're going to play that, and we're going to offer you an opportunity to figure out if you know one of your SCORE teammates really well. You ready? You up for the challenge?
Of course.
All right, great.
Let's go. Then
let's take a break and do that next here on the SCORE.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, babe.
Afternoons on the Score.
So I had never been to a Bears game as a fan. I had always been, like, even as a little kid, I had never gone to Bears games as a fan. So last week I had the chance to go, and there's a couple observations just from this conversation.
Life's getting better, isn't it? Like,
it's not bad. Had good seats, too.
Hey, this afternoon show now.
They didn't tell me about the perks. So they didn't tell me about the perks. So
Mitch.
Lawrence Holmes's Maserati does 185. Lost his license. Now he doesn't drive. He takes the Metra instead.
I do like taking the Metra in. Today I drove, but yes, it's nice to have the ability to take the Metra into the building. Robbie knows because we live in the same neighborhood.
Mm-hmm, but I saw
very
you.
Very easy commute.
I saw you in the parking lot in a very nice car last week at some point.
Yeah.
Going by.
It's nice to.
Life's been good for Lawrence Holmes.
I will say, though, my car is 10 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Buy a nice car, but, you know.
Take good care of it.
And you don't have to be flashy unless you want to. If you want to, you like, look, I'm offering my guy Russ Dorsey stunting out here. When he told us what type of ride he was riding, I was like, you know what? Good for you.
Is it a G-Wagon?
No. We had thought about getting him a G-Wagon, but he basically has a Batmobile.
You should get one. It's fine.
No.
It's fine.
That's not really how I roll.
Oh, is that not the Score teammate? I was promised a quiz. I like quizzes. I like flexing the head. What am I doing here? Who am I getting quizzed about here, sir?
Well, we ended up having a conversation yesterday. I love doing shows with those guys. I got to fill in for Mully on the pregame show, which this week is going to be on Saturday because the game is at 8:30 on Sunday morning and because we're carrying the marathon on Sunday morning. So Olin and Patrick and Mully are going to take care of you Saturday morning from 9 to 11.
Okay.
I really enjoyed talking with them, and we somehow got into a conversation about the good old days of going down to Bourbonnais and being in Bourbonnais and playing bags. So we wanted you to take a guess because Olin made mention of it.
Okay.
Olin used to play bags all the time. Patrick Manley used to play bags. Patrick Manley's partner was Alex Brown. Alex is really good at bags.
Wow.
Who was Olin's partner?
Who was Olin's partner at bags? on that team.
On that team. Yeah, like it wasn't a media member. Okay.
So it wasn't Fred Miller. Probably not. Or was it?
You got the shuffleboard.
I was shuffleboard champion. Hallis all slam Manley, but you know Manley was good at those games. A lot of free time.
I did have a lot of free time. Yeah, bags champ.
No.
We got fighting not. Words right now, Lawrence. You want to start the show with this?
Can you guess who my bag partner was?
Oh man, there's no way.
There's no way you guessed.
I don't think anybody in Chicago would be able to guess.
Think about the last person you would think.
Yes.
Fred?
Yes.
Fred.
And they were good.
Lawrence, I'm just about winning. Hey, you don't have to get along with your teammates. You just got to win.
That's why I guessed it.
Well done, Speaks.
I thought, you're asking me to just name anybody on that team. What would be the one that has the most interesting story is what I thought.
That one.
Pre-gun range or post-gun range?
Post.
Or mid, perhaps.
Maybe.
Is that what it was about at the gun range?
I don't know, but that was his partner, and like Olin said, he's all about winning. He doesn't care who his partner is.
That is amazing.
Isn't that great?
You don't have to like your teammates or your co-hosts, for that matter.
That's a wrap. Wow. That escalated quickly.
No, you do have to like your co-hosts. You do. I think that's different. It's different. What we do, it's different because we're actually hanging out and talking with each other and knowing each other and spending all this quality time together.
I mean, those guys do that too. It's part of the reason why they want their locker room back.
So they can have some privacy.
Yeah. I will say there are a lot of the teams I covered. They have a lot of cool things that you would occasionally walk in on, like them playing dodgeball. or them playing Foursquare. You know, and back in the Cutler days, like, you wanted to be on Cutler's team for dodgeball because that's something he could really get down with. Violence and stuff and throwing. That was Jay Cutler special, right?
I remember legendary dodgeball stories. That is tremendous.
Boxing the guys up, that's a thing, and we actually brought that over to NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah, that's not hazing, boxing guys up.
Yeah, but you do it
in a loving way.
Yeah. I mean, we boxed Alex up. I'll get video of that because he was late to a show and Lance was like, "Hey, let's get him." So we got him. Fun times.
Oh, man, that's tremendous.
Very well done by you, Speaks.
Thank you, sir.
Top notch.
Just thinking about, you know, where you're going, what storylines might make it most compelling. That was great. That's funny.
Mark Grody has got you taken care of all the way up to Monday Night Football, which is going to be a good one, Kansas City versus New Orleans. For Robbie, who's done a great job these last 2 days, and I know that he is walking out of here on air after his Detroit Tigers have taken a 2-1 lead.
That was the hardest shift of my life.
I know.
The hardest shift of my life. Paying attention here and then watching this game, but go Tigers.
Exactly. Go Tigers.
It's also a tough shift. Excuse me.
Careful, Balky.
Tough shift because you got your ass kicked in Tecmo.
He lost in overtime.
We need a rubber match, but yes, go Tigers.
So for Robbie, for Tanny, for my partner Speaks, I'm Lawrence. Thanks so much for listening to the show. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Mark Grody is next on The Score.
Because of The Score was The Score today, there's a lot of things to learn from that tape.